Amen. And what a king we have. And what a king we have. Sing to the king. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for each one that's here. Lord, thank you for your presence with us. Lord, I pray that you would give power and strength to your word this morning as it goes forth. Lord, that it would go forth in truth and bring honor and glory and praise to your name. Father, help us to get a glimpse this morning of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to look this morning, beginning in first in Exodus chapter 3. And I want to look, we'll read the first 15 verses in Exodus chapter 3, just to kind of get started here. Exodus chapter 3, the children of Israel are in bondage in Egypt. Moses realized that God planned to use him as a tool to rescue his people. Moses tried to jump the gun, kills an Egyptian, ends up running away to the desert for 40 years. Moses, up to this point, has figured out one thing. He doesn't have it. He thought he did. He grew up in Pharaoh's household, knowing that he was a Jew, knowing somehow that God intended to use him to rescue his people. I'm not sure how he knew that. Maybe. But somehow he knew God intended to use him to rescue God's people. And he had spent 40 years growing up in Egypt, learning all the wisdom that Egypt had to offer, learning all these things, and learning things from his mother for the first maybe 8 years of his life before he went to live full-time in the palace. And by the time he's 40 years old and he goes out to see the children of Israel, he thought he pretty much was ready to go. And he learned he really wasn't. He learned Moses can't do it. Moses isn't able to deliver God's people. And he was right. Moses isn't able to deliver God's people. God's able to deliver God's people, but Moses isn't able to deliver God's people. Moses thought he could, because he realized God intended to use him to deliver God's people. But Moses can't deliver God's people. So by this point, Moses has now been living out in the wilderness for 40 years. It's humbled him. He's had 40 years to think about what an utter failure he made of his attempt to begin rescuing the children of Israel. He's had 40 years to realize what a little man he is, hiding out in a corner of the desert, scared for his life that the king's going to send somebody out to find him and kill him. So here we see Moses. And it says in chapter 3, the beginning, it says, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Don't come any closer. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I? Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? Moses is like, I've tried this before. It didn't work so well. Who am I? But he missed what God said back in verse 8. God said, I am come down to deliver them. I am come down to deliver them. What does it matter? Who am I, Moses? What does it matter? Who are you? I, God Almighty, am come down to deliver them. It doesn't matter anymore who Moses is, because Moses isn't the one doing it. Moses says, Who am I? It's interesting. We're going to go ahead and read on a little bit. He says, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? But God didn't tell Moses to go bring them forth. He said, I am going to go bring them forth.
He also said, Thou shalt bring forth.
Right. But it was God who would be doing the work. And he said in verse 12, he said, Certainly I will be with thee. And thou shalt be a token, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. It's interesting. God's not ashamed to associate himself with his faithful people. But God, unlike every other God, is not limited by or bounded in by his people. Every other God, you could say, well, who's that? Who's the God you worship? Oh, well, it's the God that so-and-so came up with. Or, oh, it's the God that the Egyptians began worshiping. They came up with the idea. And every God that has ever been, that's small g, every God that has ever been created or designed or come up with in the minds of people, it's contained by and bounded in by their imagination, their explanation, And there, it described by and bounded in by the description of who came up with this God, who came up with this idea. But God Almighty says, I am. There's been so many different small g gods down through history that humanity in different generations, in different nations have worshipped. And every one of them you could look at and say, okay, when did they begin to exist in the minds of the people that worshipped them? Because they all have a beginning time. They all have a time when they began to be conceived in somebody's imagination and they began to figure out and to say what their God is like and to make images of their God and all these different things. But God Almighty, He's always been. He doesn't just say, I've been around for a long time. He doesn't just say, I am currently God. And He doesn't just say, I will be around for a long time from now. But He says, I am. And the very name implies infinitude. It implies infinity. And He is the only being, the only one ever who could truly say, I am, in the fullest sense of the word. Not just I am currently, but I am. There never was a time before God, and there never will be a time after God. He didn't say that I'm the God that Abraham came up with. He said, I am Abraham's God, but more importantly, my name is I am. Not I was, not I will be, not I am now, but I am eternally, past, present, and future. In Hebrews, it tells us, Hebrews 11:16, it tells us that God is not ashamed to be called the God of the faithful. He's not ashamed to be associated with the name of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all these different ones who were faithful to Him. But that doesn't contain the fullness of who He is. If you were to talk about some little idol, it would be complete to say simply, oh, it's the Egyptian's God. Or, oh, it's the Macedonian's God, or whatever. You could say these different, oh, it's so-and-so's God. And that would contain it. That would be the essence of who that God was. But God Almighty, though He isn't afraid or ashamed to be associated with His people, yet He's far beyond just Abraham's God. Because Abraham didn't create Him. Abraham didn't come up with Him. Abraham learned to know Him, but He already existed and was already God long before Abraham came on the scene. He says, I am. We see in John chapter 8, John chapter 8, verse 56 through 59, Jesus says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And the Jews took up stones to stone him. Why? Because they realized at that moment, he is saying, he is using the name of God Almighty and saying, that's me. I am. Because before Abraham was, God's not bounded in by Abraham. Abraham was special to God, and God was happy and willing to be called the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He's happy to be called the God of every faithful child. But he's not bounded in by that. Before you and I, before Jacob, before Isaac, before Abraham was, God says, I am. Not just I was, but I am. The Jews couldn't accept this because they weren't willing to accept that Jesus was God, but they clearly knew what he was saying. Because there has been one deity down through history who has identified himself as I am. And Jesus Christ here is making this assertion and claiming that and saying, I am. I am, I am. Who are you, Jesus? I am. Wait, isn't that the name that God said Moses was supposed to go and tell them? Because Moses says, what am I supposed to tell them? Who? What's your name? I am. We see this again in Mark chapter 14, verse 61 through 64, when they're getting close to the crucifixion, and it says, Jesus held his peace and answered nothing. And again the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes and said, what need we any further witness? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. It was because Jesus had said he was the Christ, the Son of the Blessed, but also because he said, again, this infuriating statement, I am. That's supposed to be reserved for God. And it was. But God is eternally, infinitely, without bounds, without beginning, without end, infinitely, he is. He is. So many times in our lives, we tend to think of God and begin to imagine a God that kind of fits in our imagination. He's bigger than us, much bigger than us, but yet we can still kind of comprehend his limits. That's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is so far beyond what we can comprehend. And so many times we find ourselves struggling to have the faith to trust God in situations because in our minds, he's stronger than me, but maybe not infinitely stronger than me. So many times in our prayer life, we're praying for God to do things that are just a little beyond what we imagine could happen anyways. Because we don't really comprehend infinity. We can't comprehend infinity. You'll hurt your brain if you try too long to comprehend infinity, because humanity can't comprehend it. We can't fully understand it. But God cannot be measured. Everything else can be measured by distance or by weight or by time or by mass, and God can't be measured. He's infinite in every realm. He's beyond measurement in every realm. That's why he doesn't say, I was or I will be. He doesn't say, I'm here right now. He says, I simply am. Eternally, infinitely, I am. million years before creation, God could say, I am. And a million years after creation, God can say, I am. Because He just eternally, infinitely is. He has no beginning. He has no end. He has no limitations. If we worshiped a God who had 99% of the power, but somebody somewhere had 1% of the power that they could keep from Him, He wouldn't be infinitely able to say, I am God. But He can, because it's all His. All power. Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is mine. It's all mine. All of it. All of eternity past, present, and future, it's all mine. I am. We can't measure God even by the expanse of the what we can find is limitless space. We can't measure God by that because He's beyond that. He's outside of that. That's all contained inside of what He Himself created and spoke into existence. You can't measure something by something smaller. So vastly smaller. If I'm trying to measure a 15-foot long thing, I don't want a 1-inch long ruler. That's going to take forever and it's not really going to give me an accurate reading. I want at least 15-foot long measurement, maybe a little extra just so I'm not running out of the end of my tape when I get down there, right? You can't imagine a measuring tape big enough to measure God. Because everything we can observe, everything we can even imagine and comprehend or kind of wrap our mind around is finite. It all has bounds. It all ends at some point. Somebody said if you took a piece of paper and you imagined a piece of paper that stretched out infinitely in every direction, as far as you can imagine it stretching out in every single direction, and you took one little pencil and marked 1-inch long piece on that paper, and you imagine the beginning of time at the beginning of that mark, and the end of time is the end of that mark, you would still not do justice to infinity. And God doesn't. There's no way to comprehend or express the completion of who He is. You could speak for years and years and years. The Apostle John said literally even just the stuff Jesus did on earth. If I were to try to write it all, the world couldn't even contain it. That's not even to mention all the stuff that He did for eternity past in heaven. That's not even to mention all the stuff He's going to do for eternity future. Just the time period when He was here on earth, if I were to try to explain and write down and describe who He was and what He did, He said, I don't think the world could contain the books that would have to be written to explain and to express just what John was able to see and comprehend. And John wasn't able to see and comprehend everything because he was human too. And his brain was finite. And he was looking at the human representation of infinity. The human representation of I am. And he said, I could fill the entire world up with books trying to describe just what I saw. And I know I didn't even see it all. This is the God who is. So many times, as I said, our minds, we start to think of him as like us, but just a little bigger. We can't even comprehend. When we run into troubles and trials, we think, well, God's stronger than me, so I'm going to ask him for help. It's nothing for him to flick his finger and raise a nation and destroy a nation. He says the nations themselves are like the small dust on a scales that you don't even bother to brush off before you take a measurement of weight because it's so insignificant it doesn't matter. If you're wearing a 50-pound suitcase, you don't carefully wipe off the dust off of your scales before you start weighing it so that it doesn't affect the weight. Who cares? It's a little bit of dust. That's how insignificant and small in relation to God's power the nations are. He says it's less than a drop in a bucket. And yet we see what goes on around us, and so many times we're fearful and we're worried and we're fretful and we're, oh God, you got to help me with this situation. It's just overwhelming. And we're like Moses, we're going, who am I? God says, who cares? I am. Who cares who am I to you? Saying, who am I? I can't face this. Yeah, you can't. That's true. Absolutely. I didn't ask you to face it by yourself. I am is here. And when he determines something is going to be, it's going to be. All the might of Egypt, which was very probably the most glorious and powerful kingdom on earth at that time, was nothing to God. It was nothing for him to bring Pharaoh and all of Egypt to their knees. It was nothing. It was nothing to him to move and work in these different ways to bring about these miracles, which seemed so unfathomably amazing and powerful to the Egyptians and to the Israelites. And even the fame of them spread throughout the world when they get over to entering into the Canaan land, and they talk to the lady in Jericho. She says, we've heard of what God did to the people in Egypt through you guys. We've heard of his powerful acts. It was unprecedented. It was something outside of the scope of anything anybody could imagine, but yet it was nothing for God. Who am I? Says Moses. Doesn't matter. I am is coming down to deliver his people. As we walk through this life, we're not to be looking at ourselves going, who am I? How am I going to overcome this? How am I going to put food on the table? How am I going to deal with this situation? How am I going to take care of my family? How am I going to work through this problem? I am God Almighty is ready and willing and able to fulfill and supersede every need that his people have. He's not limited. His arm's not short. He doesn't have enough power that, yeah, if you cross your fingers and your toes and jump three times and turn around and look at the moon at just the right angle, then maybe we'll be able to just barely accomplish it. It's nothing for him. I wanted to look at a list that I made here of the things that Jesus said of I am. Just during his time here on earth, the statements he says. He says, I am not of this world. I am not alone, the Trinity. I am the vine. I am in my Father, and my Father in me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am with you always. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection. I am the Son of God. I am the Good Shepherd. I am the door. I am the living bread. I am meek and lowly in heart. Not too good to have anything to do with us. He says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, I am Christ, the Savior, and I am among you. I want to challenge you, brothers and sisters, as you go through this week and as you go through your life, to stop looking and saying in situations that are so big and so overwhelming, who am I? How am I going to solve this? What do I bring to the table that I'm going to be able to leverage against this situation? Who am I? To realize, Jesus said, I am with you always. And I am infinitely, eternally, and boundlessly, I am. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning. Lord, I worship you and thank you that you are too great and too big and too infinite for us to even comprehend. Lord, if we could comprehend you, there would be much less to worship about you. But you are so much bigger, so infinite and eternal, Lord, that we can't even begin to wrap our minds around who you are. God, I pray that you would remind us as we go through our lives of the God that we serve. In Jesus' name, amen.